It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them, right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
What's behind the latest bout of fear in the markets?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson. The global stock seesaw ride continues this morning. Shares are back up in overseas trading after another big sell-off yesterday. We'll have the details in a moment. But one of the reasons for that rebound is that people aren't as worried this morning about the health of a major French bank, Société Générale. Rumors of insolvency sparked some panic selling yesterday. Let's find out what's going on from BBC correspondent Christian Fraser, who joins us now from Paris. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, walk us through the nightmare scenario, Christian. What were people so worried about yesterday when it came to Société Générale?
Just the financial stability of the bank. Rumors were swirling around the market that one of the major shareholders was needing more cash. The chief executive was forced to come out after trading yesterday to deny all the rumors and concerns. There's even been an inquiry into where those might have come from. And today, that seems to have reassured the markets. We've seen a brief rally this morning in early trading. Société Générale shares up, recovering almost half the losses that we saw yesterday, and similar sort of moves in the other banking stocks here in Europe as well. BNP Paribas and Crédit Agricole recovering as well.
Well, there's been a lot of talk this week about how similar this crisis is to the crisis back in 2008, which was more of a banking crisis. Is this now starting to look like a banking crisis more than a sovereign debt crisis, or are they tied together or what?
I think they are tied together because banks depend on governments to bail them out when things get rough. But in the current climate, the market sees that France has pretty heavy debt and might not be able to bail out some of these banks. You know, having said that, though, I think they have to bear in mind, and perhaps the moves this morning reflect that, that the government's pretty serious about cutting debt. It's aware of what it has to do. President Sarkozy has given his ministers a week to come up with new measures to cut the debt, and he's going to stick to them whether or not there's an election next year and however difficult those cuts may be.
The BBC's Christian Fraser in Paris, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Well, another country that's getting very serious about cutting debt is Italy. Lawmakers there want to add a balanced budget amendment to the Italian Constitution. That's something that's been talked about here in the U.S. as well. For more, let's bring in Marketplace economics correspondent Chris Farrell. Good morning.
Good morning, Jeremy.
Well, Chris, what about this idea? Have we ever actually in our history just spent the money we took in from tax revenues?
Well, we've actually done even better than that. Andrew Jackson, President Andrew Jackson, at the end of 1834, he hated the national debt. He paid it off. And the nation started out the next year with a balance at the Treasury of $440,000. Of course, that was one of the actions that helped contribute toward a 72-month depression that followed not too long afterwards. But, you know, I mean, seriously, if you look at the history of this nation, for about the first 160 years up to 1936, once you take new account wars and depressions, we did a reasonable job of maintaining a certain amount of balance and keeping the debt under control. It never really went over 40% of gross domestic product. And the periods of time when the debt really soared in the 1860s, hey, that helped save the Union. In the 1940s, it helped save the world.
Well, do we disadvantage ourselves then by not taking advantage of our still pretty good credit rating and taking on some debt?
I think we are. You know, one of my favorite economists is Andrew Samwick at Dartmouth University, and he's been pounding the table, or I guess really his blog, you know, month after month, that with interest rates this low, what the United States should be doing is borrowing and having a massive infrastructure spending program because we need to upgrade this infrastructure. And if you don't have to pay much for the debt, why not do it?
Well, can you grow as a country without going into so much debt, though? Because obviously there are a lot of people in Washington and elsewhere who are very concerned about the amount of debt we have.
Look, it isn't about the debt. Lord Thomas Babington Macaulay, he was the great historian in the 19th century. And, you know, he looked back at Britain. He said, you know, very serious people were always saying Britain's rising debt would bring ruin and bankruptcy to the nation. And it kept getting bigger and wealthier and more powerful. The issue is, how do you pay for the debt? So our discussion is about revenues in taxes, not the debt.
Marketplace economics correspondent Chris Farrell, thanks so much.
Thanks a lot.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are down in Asia this morning, but they are up across Europe, between 1% and 3% higher right now across the continent. Gold is up to around $1,790 an ounce. And on Wall Street yesterday, the Dow lost another 519 points, about 4.6%, to close at 10,719.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reputation.com, helping small business owners, professionals, and executives monitor, protect, and improve their online reputations. Reputation.com. By Allianz, managing more than $2 trillion in assets and providing investment solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S. AllianzUSA.com. And by Indiana University's Kelley School of Business, providing a personalized approach to career advancement. Learn more at kellei.iu.edu.
The drilling process known as fracking has boosted supplies of natural gas big time, but it's also caused environmental concerns. Today, the Department of Energy will get recommendations on regulation, as Eve Troe reports from the Marketplace Sustainability Desk.
A committee led by chemist and former Energy Secretary John Deutsch took a hard look at fracking.
Water quality, air quality, the community disruption from trucks going through.
The report says it's pretty unlikely that fracking chemicals will contaminate drinking water, but the industry's reluctance to list chemicals has made people suspicious. Deutsch says regulators and gas companies have to build trust.
But it begins by a respect, taking the time to collect data, analyze it, and see that you improve.
Companies are disclosing more. Matt Pizzarella is with Range Resources. It fracks for gas around the U.S. and lists every chemical on its own website.
Exactly what we used, why we used it, the percentage, the volume, and the percent by weight.
The Deutsch Committee says raw data isn't enough. It wants a national database of chemicals, wells, every fracking thing that labs and agencies could study. I'm Eve Troe for Marketplace.
Well, this latest market crisis came at least in part as a result of the S&P downgrade of U.S. debt. If you want to learn more about how credit rating agencies like S&P work, check out a new whiteboard video from Marketplace senior editor Patty Hirsch. It is at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
Financial news changes by the very minute. Domestic and global markets are crazy.
China's not about to move away from buying U.S. treasuries.
The European Central Bank wading into the Spanish and Italian government bond market today.
The whole debt ceiling debate made us look dysfunctional. We all know that.
That's okay, though, because we're here. Marketplace. It's the business show for the rest of us. It's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.